The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. If and when we get my son in here to do updated VOs, voiceovers, you're going to be shocked. That's all I'll say. And I'll let it go. Thank you for joining us on this broadcast. We begin each hour with our impact segment. 20 plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. Now, there's a lot to what I'm going to try to convey to you. And by the way, we have opened the phone lines, 888-528-2557. 888-528-2557. What's going on in our country? You know, we hear about gun violence. Indianapolis FedEx facility, 8 people gunned down by someone that the month before, mother called police saying he wanted to die by cop. Obviously, had some mental problems, turned a gun on himself, killed himself. 19-year-old Samaria Blackwell, one of the 8 people killed. I indirectly know her parents. Good Christian people. Jury deliberations in the Derek Chauvin trial right now. The country's bracing for the verdict. There's a story here. The NBA preparing for possible postponements after impending Derek Chauvin verdict. What's really going on here? You've got Maxine Waters. It's amazing. Saying if he's acquitted, people need to get more confrontational on the street. Really? By the way, she said that the other day. Call it what you will. Hours after she said it, it was a drive-by shooting of the National Guard in Minneapolis. Is this simply just a gun problem where the opportunists and those in positions of political power start screaming gun control at the drop of a hat? Or is it much more than that? Is there something called verbal violence? I mean, really, Maxine Waters? Saying we need to get more confrontational on the street if there's an innocent verdict. This is the same woman that was talking about people that supported the previous administration, follow them, harass them at restaurants. Last time I looked, she still has a Twitter account. But then there's that other guy who's no longer in office. Boy, they couldn't shut down his Twitter account fast enough. Then you have CNN's Chris Cuomo. Quote, white people's kids need to start getting killed for police reform to happen. Now, I don't blame you if you haven't called. Phones are quiet. This is a hard one. You talk about irresponsible comments? Chris Cuomo? Boy, he's just a pillar of consistency, isn't he? No double standards coming out of his mouth. Or Don Lemon. There's a guy that needs to talk about racism and inequality and somehow the God of 2,000 years ago doesn't apply to today. I bet no one knows the name Jazlyn Adams. I'd be willing to guess none of you know. It's not a test. Why don't you know? Because the media hasn't said anything. But you sure know about all the other violence. Police out of control, gunning down unarmed people. Who's Jazlyn Adams? Well, who was Jazlyn Adams? 7-year-old. Shot and killed in a drive-by, was sitting in a McDonald's drive-thru in Chicago yesterday. Not going to see her face all over MSN. Not going to hear Black Lives Matter advocates screaming at how unjust this was. We're going to see some of the Hollywood elite screaming about something needs to be done in these cities? No, it doesn't fit the narrative. You know how many murders have happened in Chicago so far this year alone? I don't have the actual statistics, but the majority of them with handgun violence, probably a rifle or two here and there, but that's what we hear about, right? Assault weapons, weapons of war. 165 people have been murdered in Chicago so far this year. All we hear about are the ones that fit the narrative. The narrative that's all about dividing us. This is a time where we need to wake up. But some would just have it be a gun control issue. I got an email from a listener. Was going to read the email. Person said, you better read every word accurately or there's slander and libel involved. And I said, well, I won't read the email. Person very much on the side of gun control. Like it's all about the Second Amendment. I saw 60 Minutes do a piece on the Oath Keepers. I didn't watch it. I saw little excerpts. Kind of interesting. Interesting the way in which edits and nuances and this narrative that's being pushed forth. Dante Wright, tragically slain, and the people are screaming this was obviously racism. You have a 13-year-old. There are stories now that CBS may have edited the video. You know the one that they had to slow down and freeze frame where he's got his hands up and the officer tragically shot and killed him? And they found a gun right there. Man, this anti-law enforcement. These are the same people that have their own security companies and law enforcement and start screaming for protection when violence comes to their own neighborhood. But not you. Defund the police. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating for the Wild West. I read a story about the tragedy at the Indy FedEx. They had all cell phones confiscated to work there. They couldn't do anything. Young kid walks in, starts shooting. So here's some of the questions we can lean into. Are guns the problem? For the handful of you that may send me an email or have sent me an email about gun control and this is out of control, your calls are welcome, 888-528-2557. For those of you that think this is an issue of racism, again, simply just it's racist police gunning down innocent people. 888-528-2557. Is this a narrative that's being pushed forward? And if other acts of violence don't fit the narrative, we're not told what to think and how to think. And maybe you're one of the many that can think for yourself and you go, wait a minute, something else is going on here. 888-528-2557. Politicians advocating for more confrontation. Fits the narrative? Nothing's done. Woman police officer, 26 years gone. Shot and killed Dante Wright. She claims it was an accident. It'll go to a court of law. She's been charged with second-degree manslaughter, and people are screaming racism. And then there's young Ashley Babbitt in D.C. No charges filed. We don't even know who the officer was. Do you find that rather odd and peculiar? I know there are some of you out there that have some thoughts on that one. These are the same people in positions of political power that say we don't need guns and walls. And they got guns and walls, a lot of them, and a lot of it. Again, I'm not advocating for anarchy. I'm not advocating for civil war. I'm not advocating for anything other than we need to use our brains. Country was founded on racism. Please. You have that kind of a conversation? You have the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations trash America, her name is Linda Thomas, praised Al Sharpton, just absolutely eviscerated the U.S. in front of an international audience. And we don't say anything? We don't stand up? One of the greatest minds in the United States of America is Victor Davis Hanson. He talked about Linda Thomas. Or Linda Thomas Greenfield, I've seen that too, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. My friends, we're in trouble here. And it's not going to go away by itself.
Victor Davis Hanson is a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. We're happy to have him on tonight. Professor, thanks so much for coming on. Now, I don't know what this character can do as U.N. Ambassador, but it strikes me as powerfully symbolic that someone who hates America is representing America. How do you react to this?
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of disgusted. Al Sharpton is on record as an anti-Semite, anti-white, anti-Mormon, anti-almost any particular group other than his own. She should know that. And the thing is that the beauty of the civil rights movement was that Martin Luther King did not trash the United States. He said, you people, meaning the white people,
right,
you created the Declaration and the Constitution, but you're not living up to it. And you did, you know, the Civil War, the Civil Rights, but we've got to accelerate that process. So 650,000 people, white people, basically killed each other for the sin of slavery. And then they started a civil rights process. Was it perfect? No. Because tribalism is a natural condition of humankind. What we're doing here, a multiracial democracy, Tucker, has never been tried before. The Romans, the Soviets, the Ottomans, they had multiracial people, but they kept them in check by the threat of death. They were autocratic. And when we tried it in the 19th and 20th century, look at the mess of Lebanon or Iraq. It doesn't work there. Brazil's trying it, not very well. India, Muslim, Hindu, different sects, they have caste. It doesn't. This is the only experiment that's been working. It requires one thing, that all of us look at our tribal identities as incidental and not essential to who we are.
That's
and then
right.
We embrace a common Americanism. And if we don't do that, history's not going to say, well, you're Americans, you get to survive. We're going to go on the ash heap of history. And it's very funny when she said all of this, and I said, well, what do these terms mean? Does it mean that in 2008 and 2012, when black Americans registered at a higher ratio than white Americans, and then registered voters turned out at a higher rate than white voters, or that more white voters voted for Barack Obama than John Kerry when he ran for president? Or think of the succession archetype, South Carolina, in their last lieutenant governor's race, both candidates, Republican and Democrat, were African American. And, you know, when you look at per capita income, it's not white people that have the highest per capita income. It's Asian Americans by almost 20,000. Yeah. So there's a lot of things you can say is wrong with the United States, but it's a very fragile idea. And it was started out with the idea that we're constantly self-reflective. We tear things apart, we look, and we advance. And then when you have people like that do this, they're anti-empirical, and they never define their terms. They never say, this is white supremacy, and I'm going to show you. Or the founding documents are flawed. Here's what's wrong with the Declaration. They never do that. It's just a bunch of platitudes, and then we all nod because we're afraid of the woke mob.
Victor Davis Hanson, I would love to get the last 10 seconds on a separate bar. Just saying that. We get these platitudes, no specifics. And they get off scot-free. We just kind of... The narrative is pushed upon us, and the masses do what the masses do, and the change continues to happen. Now, Victor Davis Hanson was talking about the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations trashing America. A small point of many points I'm trying to make here, whether it's gun violence, racism, the left's onslaught by which we give up our freedoms. What's going on here and what do we do? Is it just simply more gun control? Some of you think that way, few and far between. I had a couple emails over the weekend. Again, these are the same people that say, no guns, no walls for you, for us, but for them? Oh, please, we have a 3-mile fence around the Capitol now, barbed wire, thousands of troops armed to the teeth, personal security for politicians and the like. And yet here we are. How'd you like to live in Chicago, in the suburbs of Chicago? 165 murders in Chicago so far this year alone. And then you hear Mayor Lori Lightfoot somehow saying that the tragic slaying of Daunte Wright was uncalled for, and we have some serious problems here with law enforcement. All right, we have one line open, 888-528-2557. Maria in Hawthorne, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. I'm just going to say I don't have a gun, and I was raised on kind of a fear of guns, and I don't know if that was my family or just the way I was raised, because I've always had a fear of guns. But I fear more a criminal with a gun, and I hope people remember that they would rather have a law-abiding person with a gun as a neighbor than a criminal, because a criminal doesn't care how many laws you pass. They do not care. I just really want people to really think about that. You know, and please do a little history on tyrannical government and how it is that they work to make sure people are unable to defend themselves. And I mean, I'm not saying, oh yeah, you know, just get your gun out and solve the problem. What I'm saying is criminals do not care about.
Well, Maria, let me interrupt if I may. I think your points are well taken regarding the quote unquote criminals, but I also think there's a double standard going on here. We have criminals being released back into society. We have rioting in Portland now, day 5,973,000, and there are scores of people that acted violently over last summer. No charges will be brought against them. Politicians like Maxine Waters talking about need confrontation, or even hosts like Chris Cuomo shooting his mouth off. Is he going to be held accountable? I doubt it. It's shocking, the narrative that's being pushed on us. It's even more shocking that some of us would take it. Josh in San Diego. Josh, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. How's it going, brother?
It's okay, Josh. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I just wanted to share. So I was listening last hour, too, with Planned Parenthood, all the stuff you talked about, the little girl that can't wear a mask that says Jesus loves her, opinion. You know, we should change our motto in this country from "In God We Trust" to "In God We Trusted" a long time ago, because that's how far we've fallen. And the other thing I want to say, we as Christians need to start speaking out, because if we don't, we're going to lose not only our country, but our right to practice our faith openly. And that's very important.
Josh, as always, I appreciate your call and your input. I agree with you 100%. Thank you for calling. Kimberly in Los Angeles, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, Frank. How in the world are you today?
Okay. Thank you for calling.
All right. I agree with you about the gun control. I was having this conversation just last night with my nephew. I said, I think that my focus would be on a place like Chicago, where so many people are being killed. I said, it doesn't matter that.
Did we lose you? Let me put you back on hold. Maybe we'll find you. We're actually up against a break anyway. We have one line open, 888-528-2557. This is a hard one. Now, I guess one of the questions I can ask, do you believe our country is changing? Just like in the last 3 months, is there something going on here that is undeniably about shift and change? Is it for the better? Is it for the worse? What about our media? Are they opportunists? Do we just hear about one narrative, and then when something doesn't fit the narrative, a crime of equal horror we never hear anything about? What about equal protection under the law? Are guns the problem? We've got hundreds of millions of firearms in America. Do you know that? And if you believe guns are the problem and gun control is the answer, really think about what you're saying. If we have, I don't know the stat, 200 million guns, you would think we'd have the body count would be escalating day in and day out if guns are really the problem. And for those that say gun control is the answer, we don't even enforce the laws we have now. You don't think they have gun control laws in and around Illinois? 165 murders in Chicago over the last, well, we're in April. We're not even through April. We're not even 4 months in. 165 people have been murdered in Chicago. And there's Mayor Lori Lightfoot screaming racism. Police are the problem. Triple 888-528-2557. We'll see if we can get Kimberly back, and we have one line open. 888-528-2557. Your calls are welcome, as well as your emails at either franksontag@kkla.com or franksontag@kprz.com. One last thought. Josh made mention of the church. What about the church? How about this as a statement? The church is called to save souls, not culture. To save souls is the only real means to change culture. Our culture's a mess. Is it because the church has somehow relegated really standing firm in the gospel? I still believe 1 + 1 = 2, even though if you've got a string of letters after your name and you're somehow a professor or a teacher at an institution or a university where you have tenure and can't lose your job, you'd probably argue with me that 1 + 1 = 3. But as simple as 1 + 1 = 2, as the church makes disciples and Christ reigns in the hearts of more people, the culture may very well be preserved. But if somehow the church makes cultural preservation its highest goal, i.e. social justice, progressive Christianity, choosing to moralize the loss through political lobbying pursuits. Culture's done. What is the role of the church? How are we doing in that area? 888-528-2557. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to attempt to convey a few questions to you. If you have a response, any thoughts, we have basically a wide open board. On the break, some people decided not to hold on, cleared some lines. We've got three open lines. So let me be brief. We are hearing reports in the media about shootings, tragic slayings of innocent people, politicians falling all over themselves, talking about gun control. Question number one, is that part of the solution? Are guns the problem? Number two, we have some politicians, Maxine Waters would be one of a handful, that are screaming the race card. And in the case of the Derek Chauvin trial, they're in final closing arguments right now. Somehow there is not a conviction. In her words, there should be more confrontation on the streets. Strangely enough, a couple hours later, there was a drive-by shooting of National Guard troops in Minneapolis after she said that. Connection? I won't draw a connection, but I'm saying, really? This is responsible rhetoric from people of that level of authority like Maxine Waters? Or you got a guy like Chris Cuomo using his platform to say, quote, white people's kids need to start getting killed for police reform to happen. And he still has his job. I don't know where the expression came from, if it's even attributable, but we get the government we deserve by the way we respond. This is on us. Later in the hour, Glenn Beck was on Tucker Carlson talking about vaccinations of all things, and he talked about Thomas Jefferson near the end. And a quote by Jefferson about the idea that the forefathers knew the importance of self-governance, which is the opposite of where we're at now, where the government says, you need us. You need to be more dependent on us, and we'll give you stuff. And what about the church? Is there a role for the church to impact culture? Now, I want to be nice here. A church in San Diego opened recently over the weekend. I saw a news report. They had like 5,000 people. The pastor was screaming praises and okay. But that church has been closed for more than a year. Maybe it's time all the churches need to be opened. What is the role of the church? Is the role of the church to change culture? If so, how does it do that? We have one line open, 888-528-2557. 888-528-2557. Mary in Hollywood. Mary, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Oh, hi, Frank. How are you?
Good, Mary. How are you?
Good, good. I have a comment about guns. I do believe in gun control. I think that assault weapons should be banned. I think there's no reason that people should be carrying around stuff like that.
Can you define an assault weapon for me?
A weapon that has a magazine and shoots like, you know, 20 rounds in half a minute or something or less.
So
something you would use in war.
Yeah, with respect, if you don't know what an assault weapon is, just say that. I mean, I'm not necessarily in a position where I completely support high-powered weapons that can shoot off rounds in like the blink of an eye. But when we use the buzzwords assault weapons and we don't know what they are, it doesn't really speak well to the conversation.
Okay, let's called high-powered guns.
Okay.
Like you just said.
Such as? Give me an example of a high-powered gun you'd like to see banned or somehow enforce gun control laws.
Well, I guess AK-47s, the kind of guns they use in war and things like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when this Second Amendment thing was written, I mean, they had muskets, you know? I mean, they weren't talking about guns that shoot in a lot of people all at once. And that's what I'm against. And I think there should be a law against that.
Do you know our most recent statistics from 2019 on murders in America? How many people were murdered from a rifle versus some type of a sharp instrument, like a knife?
Well, I don't know the statistic.
5 times more people died at the hands of knives than rifles. And again, I'm not singling you out. I want you to walk away not only with an experience that you were heard, but I'm not here to make you out to be a bad person. I'm just here to say we hear this rhetoric, ban assault weapons, and I think part of the challenge is, what does that mean? How many assault weapons do we have in society, and what's really going on here? That's my only position. I don't want you to walk away like I beat you up or something. But isn't it shocking? 5 times as many people were murdered by knives than rifles?
Okay.
Isn't that shocking to you?
By knives than rifles?
Okay. All right. We'll go. We'll move on. Thank you for the call. We're having an audio problem. When you call the program, sometimes you call and the program is not just about you and me. It's about the people that are listening. And I hear this, we need to ban assault weapons. What does that exactly mean? AR-15s, AK-47s, we hear these weapons spelled out by politicians. Nobody, weapons of war. That's an expression I try not to react to because I hear it all the time. We shouldn't have weapons of war in the streets. Okay. We best just be taking away kitchen knives as much as weapons of war if we really want to, in that way of thinking, stop the needless killing of people. Disarming a society is a conversation that I think anyone that chooses to be well-educated and looking from a historical perspective would gain a lot of insights into current methodology of what may or may not be appropriate in a culture by which we have a problem with violence. And we have hundreds of millions of firearms. Nick in Pasadena, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Mr. Sontag. Thanks for talking. Oh, I agree with everything you just explained. I really value, like, especially your idea of, like, the definitions of the assault rifle and the weapons of war and the ill-descript thing. I actually just got my first gun, I think, last week, so I'm real excited. But I was seeing how I was getting frustrated with the fact that, like, I'm a law-abiding citizen, and I feel there's, like, I have a right to have be able to defend myself. And
what kind of a weapon did you buy?
Well, I'm not 21 yet, so I'm really restricted. So, like, they have these, like, really, like, what's the word? Not arbitrary. I guess there's – I think it's arbitrary because the politicians, if they make – if they had some official who was, like, knew about firearms. But anyway, I was able to get a pump action shotgun.
And you walked in, and did you buy it? And were you given it the day that you walked in?
Well, there's a saying about things. There's no loopholes or nothing. But I've gone to like 4 different stores in the past few weeks. I've gone to more than that in the past month. But like there was one store where they don't want to like legally I could get a rifle, a bolt action, lever action, or like a pump action shotgun, or like any action that's not semi-automatic. And I'm legally supposed to. But then I went to one store. near me in Pasadena, they, because of soil restrictions, they wouldn't even sell me that, even though I have legal. And I even had one gun owner say there's like executive orders stopping. So it just seems like there's these random laws that restrict me. But I just want, I'm a young guy. I'm just trying to exercise my right. Like, just as much as I want to have free speech on your show, I want my right to bear arms.
Yeah, and I think that we should have that right. Thank you for the call, Nick. I was trying to get you to say there is a, you have to wait. You don't just get a gun right away. There's a lot of ignorance out there. People think we have such easy access to guns. You just walk in, pick up a gun. Or you'll see somebody that clearly, you know, the after the fact red flags that you see, somebody with mental health issues or somebody that, in the case of the shooter in Indianapolis that cowardly walked into a FedEx facility and killed 8 people and killed himself. His mother called police the month before saying he wanted to die by cop. Well, we always go back and go, well, how did he get a weapon? Here's an example of we have a problem. We got to take a look at that. I just don't think it's that easy. Lenny in Lakewood, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for taking my call. What I just wanted to say, you're talking about gun control. 10 years ago, I was gun neutral. And after I went to Nevada and got trained on how to use a handgun and got educated, I'm very pro-Second Amendment. I'm a retired firefighter for over 25 years, and all the time that I've gone on any murders or assaults or anything, I've never seen a police officer stop a murder or assault. The police try to do the job that they do. They do a great job, but they can't do it. And anyone sitting at home thinking when someone's trying to force their way into their home and they call 911, the police protect them, they're very much mistaken, because whatever's going to happen takes place in seconds, and the police come and take a report. And my kids, my wife, we're all trained on using handguns and the safety and how to use them properly. But the thing that's difficult for me, I live in California. I live in L.A. County. So since I live in L.A. County, I cannot get a concealed carry permit because L.A. County won't issue them. I have a non-resident concealed carry permit from the state of Nevada, so I could carry it about 34 different states, but not California. And this lady that was calling earlier about saying assault weapons should be banned, I highly encourage people to get educated about guns and how they work. They are merely a tool that's put into someone's hands to use properly, just like a car is a tool. If you're a drunk driver driving a car, which is a tool, you can kill somebody because you're not using it properly.
So let me interrupt you. We're really late for a break. Just one question. How did you go from being gun neutral a decade ago to now being somewhat of an advocate?
I had a friend of mine, show me a video of a training school, and I won't say its name, in Trump, Nevada. It's excellent training. Military go there. Cops go there. And then just regular people. I mean, when the first class I went to, there was a grandma in there, and it's just all different people. And I saw that if they're safe, they're useful, and that you need to protect yourself. You need to protect yourself. You can't rely on the police to come and protect you. And it showed how the proper ways to use them and how to be accurate and making a decision ahead of time when you're going to use deadly force and when you're not.
Yeah, being responsible, being educated, being knowledgeable, being informative, all that, for sure. Lenny, thank you for your good call. 888-528-2557. We are way late for a break. We'll be back with more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. We're going to go back to the phones in a moment. Elaine in San Diego and Peter in L.A. will be the first two. I've gotten a ton of emails and communication. This one I want to share with you. We had a caller make mention of weapons of war, and back in the day they had muskets, and that's when the Second Amendment was written. I received this communication. My feelings on weapons of war and when it was written they had muskets, our Second Amendment was written by men who had just defeated a tyrannical government were only armed with muskets, and they added, quote, shall not be infringed, end quote, to make sure the government in the future will not try to do the same thing. Yep. And then there's the uninformed, or the unwilling to be informed. Elaine in San Diego, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi. Hi, Frank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I wanted to, I'm a mother of four, and in 1995, I was a victim of a violent crime. I was shot at close range with a 38, and I was, thanks to God, I survived that. But I am a supporter of the right and having the freedom to own a firearm for that reason, because the perpetrator is never caught.
Are you still there? Okay, let me put you on hold. We're having a little bit of a glitch here with the phone lines. It's very strange. Elaine, we'll try to get back to you and see if you're there. Peter in Los Angeles, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Peter, are you with us? Maybe somehow, some way, we're just losing everybody. Let's try Rudy in Anaheim. Rudy, are you there? Okay, that's very interesting. We'll, on the break, kind of investigate, but I guess we've lost everybody. Elaine was sharing that 25 years ago she was shot point blank. She's pro-gun now. Peter in L.A., Marine for 12 years, pro-Second Amendment. Democrats lie about assault weapons. Rudy, who I also tried to go to, gun control is good to some degree. Ellie in Calabasas carries a gun, doesn't want people to tell her what she can do. John in Huntington Beach, families of mass shooting victims versus families of victims of stabbings. Not sure what that means. I'd love to talk to them if our phones worked, but they don't, at least right now. So let me share a closing thought or two. Whenever we see something like a tragic, cowardly act of violence, with a mass shooting, a drive-by shooting, please ask yourself the root cause of such an incident. Is the root cause a firearm? Is the root cause a firearm? Is it much more than that? Is there verbal violence? Again, interesting. We took calls for almost the hour. Not one mention of Chris Cuomo or Maxine Waters and their inflammatory rhetoric. They get a pass, and yet the left, you hear conservatives talking about less innocuous things, and they get banned from social media. There's a theme to what I'm trying to share here. And it's not just this simplistic one that you need to be a Christian and stand for Jesus. Although that is above all true. God's a God by which he's all about nations, sovereign nations. The Bible talks about the enforcement and the protection of people and the enforcement of borders. But there are lots of people that say they're Christian, they don't even believe in the Bible. But my goodness gracious, if you're a United States citizen, educate yourself about the history of this country. Stop mailing it in. You know, I see part of the monopolization of the political elite using the pandemic as a vehicle by which take away our rights where they could gain more power. But they can only gain as much power as we're willing to give up. And we have a media that's just reprehensible. How Chris Cuomo still has a job is beyond me, but, you know, that's the left. That's the media. But inform yourself. Find out about the history of this country. Understand what we're up against here. If you're a follower of Christ, read Ephesians 6. Please understand there is spiritual warfare. Evil exists. It's not just the bad guys that have guns. This is the Frank Sontag Show.